This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello. So, hello, welcome everyone. Welcome to this very, very special episode of the Polyester Podcast, in which we're talking to you, Stacey Battette.
Battette, sure.
Hi. Sorry. The costume designer of Priscilla, but also many other incredible films, and my personally underrated favourite, On Becoming a God in Central Florida.
Yeah, I like that show too.
I love that show. Would you like to introduce yourself, as I've just minced it?
No, I'm Stacey. You did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. So, I mean, let's just start. I heard that 120 outfits were made for Priscilla, and I don't have a question there. Well done.
For Priscilla, just the character of Priscilla, or for...
Just for Priscilla.
120. How many did she end up wearing on the throughout the film?
Was it
the
full 120?
Bloody hell.
Really, because I read in an interview about The Beguiled, which is another film I love, that you had like a favourite dress that wasn't included in the final edit. Did you have that for this film as well?
Oh, did I have a favourite dress that wasn't included?
It was like one that Elle Fanning wore. I mean, you said it in an interview, maybe.
She and I were like when she had her corset on
Yeah.
It wasn't a dress. It was just she wasn't fully dressed, mm-hmm. and we took a photo at the, you know, in the set.
Nice.
And we never had that, a moment like that in the movie. Uh-huh. And she did look so great in her corset and
I think that's
skirt.
A thread that runs through your work. Like, I was reading a lot about how much effort you put into the private moments of Priscilla's outfits, whether it was like the lingerie or what she wore to bed. And you said similar about The Beguiled, that they weren't dressing, you know, for public because obviously there was no public around. What interests you about these kind of like private moments of fashion?
I don't know. I just think it's also partly that the stories that we're telling are stories that are set a little bit behind the scenes. They're not set, you know, in a forward-facing way. And, you know, I think with the Beguiled, for example, it's just like they had to corset themselves in. They didn't have the housekeeper to corset them in. So, you know, maybe things were a little looser and they didn't really wear those hoops that women wore during the Civil War because why would they put them on? They had to go do the, you know, vegetable garden.
I also read that like Priscilla and also The Beguiled were low budget films. What kind of constraints does that put up from a costume perspective?
I mean, it does actually put up a lot, but what's nice is I feel like costumes are important to Sophia. So even though it's a low budget film and like we definitely don't have a huge budget to do it, it's not as low as it would be on someone who didn't have the same appreciation for costumes. So that's nice.
I also think it would probably be quite comforting to a lot of people here that these films are low budget. Well, I mean, it's good as in comforting because it means that anyone can make something like if they want to. But I was wondering why you think like it's still really hard for female filmmakers to get that sort of funding.
You know, I don't really know, but I'm always surprised that, you know, it's hard for Sophia to get enough money to make her things because I think she's such a proven and like wonderful filmmaker. But I just... all filmmakers are having trouble getting funding to make their movies. So I don't think it's just her. And I think it like the problem is that like there's a lot of men in charge and men don't always trust women to do things with a lot of money.
Yeah, and I can imagine that a lot of maybe men wouldn't want this film made, like a story that's maybe not putting Elvis in like the best light, who's such like an American god.
Yeah, maybe the Elvis estate, but I think it's just like, it's like in the same way that costume designers get paid less because like it's women's work, that women's work often is undervalued. And I think, you know, there's a lot of male studio executives that probably have a harder time. I don't know. It's just the way, like, unfortunately, I'm not trying to say it's okay, but it's just the way of the world. It's like,
you have to work around it just to...
Yeah,
get, like,
I don't know, like, you have, and it's hard to be, you know, gentle, I guess, because then that somehow means you're not trustworthy to command a ship.
Yeah. I think when I was watching like the film and all the costumes in it, I was wondering if you found it hard because she's such like a prolific figure for style. Like, was it especially difficult to not necessarily always replicate her outfits, or did you prefer having that kind of freedom?
No, I liked having that kind of freedom because also I think there's a misconception that we really know what she looked like between, you know, like from when she went to Graceland until she got married, you know, there's very few photos of her. So we were just kind of going with the flow, making stuff up, and it was fun to make it up.
Did she have much input in that? Like, would she see what the costumes were?
No, she didn't. She wasn't like a hands-on producer. She was a producer, but she wasn't micromanaging in any way. She wasn't like, no, that's what it looked like. It didn't look like this. Or,
yeah.
You know, it was very easy.
You've done a few period pieces with Sophia and On Becoming a God in Central Florida. Would you say like historical accuracy is important, or is it more about like telling the story in the best way, I suppose?
I think historical accuracy is important, and also in so much as historical accuracy is important, it's also nice to understand what was actually happening at the time, because times shift and times change. So like reading magazine articles and like that sort of thing, because like if you, yeah, like speaking of, you know, the difference between women now and women then, and like a Vogue magazine in 1959, it was like, it just, you'd be shocked. Is all I can say. Like, there would never be an article like that now, like about ways to be demure and keep your husband, please.
I thought it was really interesting how the costuming in Priscilla was such a integral part of the story, in that it shows how she changes through these kind of different periods of her life. I was wondering if you could talk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I think a big part of it was the foundation garments, is that early on, you know, she's wearing classic 50s undergarments, but they are those crinolines that the skirt is puffy, and it kind of has like that little bell shape, like a cupcake. And I think that shape is kind of childish. And then as we moved along through the story, we lessened the shape of the crinoline, like just it got a little less puffy. And then, you know, ultimately she ends up in pants. And I think that was all, including the colors and all that stuff, kind of helped to express her journey.
Yes, I noticed it. I noticed it throughout the film, but like one tiny little moment that I noticed is when she goes to LA and she's wearing Prince after he's like said that he hates her in Prince, but I'm assuming that was purposeful.
Yeah, it was purposeful. I think at that moment, something that I had thought about a lot, it just is when she becomes her own person, that I didn't want her her style to be reactive towards him. But I do think in that instance, it was reactive towards him, that she was like, you don't like this, and I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, she's kind of like in the throes of...
She was angry,
yeah. She was still like under his thumb a little bit as well. Like, she has to go out to see him and he can still send her away and things like that.
Yeah.
That's how you'd kind of rebel. But then when she matures to more of an adult, she's not rebelling anymore. She's just her own person.
Exactly, yes. And I think that was a really important distinction, because when you're rebelling against somebody, you're still reacting to their desires and needs and wants.
Yeah, even if you're doing
something against their wishes.
I also thought it was like so powerful, but not in a fun way, when they go shopping, Elvis and Priscilla, and like all his mates are there. I was like, I would feel so mortified.
It made me feel sick, because usually like you watch like a makeover bit in a film and you're like, yes, like in Clueless or something. And then in this one, I sat there being like, I felt really solemn. Like, I just felt really sad about it, especially when they were like,
like the men would be cheering on, and then Elvis would just go, no, you can't wear that. And she'd just be seesaw set, and you can just, I think anyone who's ever had like a controlling partner as well just kind of like cringes at that moment.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm interested in, like, do you think it was because in the film that he wanted like just the vision of femininity that he wanted, or did you think he thinks it was like more collaborative than it was?
I mean, I'm not him, so I can't say, but I do think that the idea of Priscilla for him was like, I don't think he, in my imagination or what I imagine this story to be, I don't think he ever really saw her as a person. I think she was always a projection of what he thought was an ideal woman.
Yeah, on my second watch round, I was like, this is just an extension of himself, like as a woman, like the big black hair, like makeup, yeah. Like it's just his values of style translated onto a different gender.
Yeah, and he also had, like, he was so weird about things with her that he wasn't weird about with other people. So, I don't know what went on in his mind, but there was some stuff there.
Yeah.
I'm also interested in the process of you collaborating with a couple of fashion houses for the costumes. So yeah. Chanel did the wedding dress. I know Valentino did the Vegas outfits.
No, Valentino didn't do the Vegas outfits. A company called BK Enterprises made the Vegas outfits, and they made them for Elvis too, really? Essentially. Yeah. But Valentino was hugely collaborative and made a lot of his clothes prior to Vegas. They made a lot of his knitwear and some of his suits and everything. But
I thought it was fun how like his costuming is kind of like a bit more demure at the beginning, like he's wearing just like a black turtleneck and black trousers, and then he ends up obviously in the iconic jumpsuit, and then that's kind of flipped with Priscilla's story, like she's in the extreme outfits and then in the more demure ones as it goes along.
Yeah, I think in the middle of the story they're kind of aligned.
Yeah. It's like a Benjamin Button sort of moment.
Well, there's actually a photo of them where in the 70s where he's wearing like a blue, it's actually a suit but it kind of looks like a jumpsuit. And it's shiny, and he's got big sideburns, and Lisa Marie's in the photo in a polka dot dress, and she's in this lavender top and just very natural looking, and he's so embellished. And I thought when I saw that photo, that is really a kind of demarcating moment of when they came apart, kind of their relationship came apart, like they were no longer. It was a visual representation of the end of that.
They have that little photo shoot in the film as well, don't they? As a
scene. Yeah.
Because she kind of like amplifies kind of like how ridiculous he looks a bit, like sat in his own home in Graceland.
With a staff.
The staff. I was like, oh my God. When you like kind of, because you kind of see these costumes like of someone on the stage and you're like, wow, stage wear, like, of course. Like, but then him like sat in like this really pristine pastel house in it, you're like, it almost feels a bit obscene.
Yeah, no, totally. And then I feel like it just was, he was so so embellished, I guess. Like the essence of him was gone and he was just the showman. And I always thought during the filming, like what Priscilla is seeing is a more intimate version of Elvis. And at the point when they separate, like she realizes like that intimate Elvis, that person that she wants and like craves to have intimacy with, is just never gonna not be that guy with the sideburns and the blue suit and wearing a staff in his Christmas photo or Thanksgiving photo. Yeah, exactly. Or holding a staff.
I also thought it was so interesting in that scene, like how modern Priscilla's top looks, like it could almost be like a Molly Goddard top or something.
Yeah, totally.
Certain outfits obviously stand out as like iconic looks, but then there's these little things that really like are in the background of our lives as well.
That's right, yeah.
This is your sixth collaboration with Sophia. I was wondering what that process is like and like what you've learned along the way.
I mean, I've learned so much along the way because one of the first movies that I worked on and one of the first movies I worked on with her is Somewhere. So I've grown a lot. I think we all have. We've gotten older, sadly. But I working with her is always really nice. We usually start with a mood board that she makes. It's not a very like it's not specific in a way that you would imagine it to be. Like, it's not like, I think the costume looks like this or the set looks like this. It's really just an all-encompassing feeling about what the film should feel like. And then from there, you know, we just kind of I take my end and I kind of make color palettes and figure out what the clothes should be, and then Tamara Deverell, who did the production design and the sets, she, you know, kind of took those notes and started working on the set. And then Philippe, obviously, the cinematographer, has his own ideas. And then later, you know, like after a little bit of time has passed, we come back together and look at everybody's photos and inspirations. And it's organic. You know, sometimes we don't have time, but, you know, Tamara's office is near mine. So I go in and I talk to whoever's in there and I'm like, what's this? And they're like, oh, that's the fabric for the drape in Elvis's room. And then like, now I know what it is, but she never told me.
Whatever. It's so like gorgeous, like all coming together, and you probably all have like really similar, but you've like come to it through your own practices.
I mean, I think that's something I love about working with Sophia, is that we really are good at communicating to one another.
I think it's so nice as well that you kind of start with mood boarding and that like physicality of it, because so many people use her films as inspiration, like whether it's like teenage girls in their bedroom or like more established people, like she exists on so many mood boards and your work exists on so many mood boards.
Yeah, no, it's funny. She has some of the same images on her mood board all the time too, so.
I'm the same, like, same four images. How can I make them different, please?
Mine is like all over the place. It's not the same stuff.
Really?
No.
There's always like things I want to bring in, but then sometimes it's just
some
random
staples, I think.
Yeah, Gina's probably seen the same like 10 images for the last 10 years.
I'll rip out like a recipe and then like a wooden box and it, like just so random stuff.
Yeah.
I was interested. Oh, is there anything you want to ask?
You can go.
I can't remember what my next question is, though.
I guess I found it interesting in the film as well that when she moves into Graceland, she's given a uniform, and then she's given like the Catholic school uniform as well. Mm-hmm. She's very like set in. She's just given what she has to look like. I just thought that was really interesting.
You know, the uniform was actually one of my favorite costumes in the movie, because I love that it is so uniform. Everyone has to wear it, but there's something, it's very recognizable to anyone who's ever seen a Catholic schoolgirl. It doesn't feel like it's different or, you know, whatever, but that color, that sage green color, kind of makes it feel, I don't know, like it's jarring a little bit, because I haven't seen one in that color.
It also, I think it made me like, it like reinforced like that she's a child, like this is an infant, like it's infantilizing to be in a, like a Catholic school uniform a bit, and then she goes home and she has to dress in like these really long, gorgeous dresses for and pretend to
with
be the woman
guns
of the house.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. And then I thought,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
The color was also like, it was like, that was what's so great about it is that she was a child, like very ordinary, but then her situation was so extraordinary.
Yeah, when she's like stood at the car before her graduation, she's like, "You can't come in here, you're Elvis." And he's like, "Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly."
But then he still manages to make it about himself.
Well, that's the point of the film, right?
I don't think he made it about himself. The nuns made it about him.
Yeah, yeah, but that's true. He could have said no.
No, he said he'll wait outside.
I also thought it was interesting with the school uniform, how it was like her peers don't change, but she's changing so rapidly, like with hair and makeup and like her behavior.
That's right, yeah.
Just a little thought.
Just another thought.
Both a brown and a black beehive.
I also wanted to briefly bring up the bling ring, because I feel like it's having a bit of like a zeitgeisty moment. Like there's so much. We rewatched the Bling Ring in the studio the other day, and we loved it. Great soundtrack, great costumes. How was it working? Yeah. Like, did you consider it a period film at the time? So there wasn't that much time between.
No, I think so. When we talked about the Bling Ring, we always talked about it as kind of like a non-linear time, because we said like this. I don't know why I remember this. That we really wanted them to have Juicy Couture sweatsuits, but they also needed iPhones. Mm-hmm. So we kind of were like, it's both.
But that's interesting, because I feel like that's how we see Y2K, or like decades kind of get reduced to these few things and like merged very quickly, when we kind of lose the hyper specificity, even with like the 60s or the 70s or whatever. It's sure, like one silhouette, one thing, one whatever. So I feel like that also makes sense in a way, because it's how we remember things.
Yeah, that actually is true. And I think that was a challenge, by the way, on Priscilla, is trying to differentiate like 1965 to 1969, because we do have such distinct ideas of what is the 60s and what is the 70s, and there's a lot that goes in between. Like before you get to bell bottoms, there's like a slight boot cut. Yeah.
What do you say is like the biggest like misconception if people think they're in a 60s look? Like what gives them away is like not being historically authentic.
Oh, I have no idea.
Fair enough. Do you have an opinion?
An H&M tag.
No, I don't have an opinion. Like, I just always think about hyper. Like, I did a course on it once, and it was like saying how we can never remember the past how it actually is, because it's shaped by the pop culture that we consume around that decade.
I think that's true.
That were there.
Yeah.
So I find that really interesting.
Well, I always think about that too in designing a period movie, that the things like you had mentioned, that lavender blouse, that it looks the same. I mean, that is a historical one, but that locket, that heart locket, is, there's a choice. Like, you could use it or you could not use it. Priscilla did really have a heart locket like that, and I feel like the choice to use it was because it is so recognizable to us now. Like, you could buy it at a store. So
yeah. Should we go to audience questions, Misha?
Sure.
Antoinette,
we've got a glamorous assistant.
Yeah.
Wait, how do I... Oh! Sorry, that was very loud.
Sorry, everyone.
I am your roving reporter.
Put your hand up if you have a question.
Any questions?
Don't be shy.
I'll ask a question.
Okay.
In your career as a costume designer, are there any costume designers that really inspired you or that made you want to take that path into film?
Oh my God, so many. But one of my favorites is English. Her name is Jenny Beaven.
Yes, yeah. Wonderful. She did Cruella, she did lots of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, she did lots of stuff. She's amazing.
Amazing.
I'm going to say Jenny Beaven, and I'd never met her.
Oh, no.
I'm also interested in how you got into costume, because I read that you met Sophia because you were working at Marc Jacobs, right?
Yeah, I was working at Marc Jacobs. I was in fashion school, and I wanted to like be a stylist, so I started assisting this American style, who, she's actually English, but she worked at W Magazine, and I assisted her. Her name was Alex White. And then from there, I did my first movie. And then Sophia said, like, you know, I'm going to make somewhere after she'd done Marie Antoinette. And I was like, okay, sure, I'd love to. And then I think after the first movie, I really kind of was like, movies felt better to me, like more like what I wanted to be doing.
Did you have to learn a lot on the go, or was like...
No, I learned a lot on the go, yeah. I feel like you learn a lot on the go, no matter what.
Yeah, in any job, I think. I think the backbone of polyester as well. Yeah.
I don't know anyone who's like, I went to college and it really prepared me for everything I experienced in the real world.
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, not saying someone shouldn't go to college. I'm just...
I am. Don't do it. Don't bother.
Don't do an unpaid internship either.
I think we've got a question over here to this lovely lady.
Hello. I love all of your work, so thank you. Did you get any particular notes from Priscilla that informed your making and any that stuck in your mind?
Yeah, so I had actually, I didn't speak to her directly, but I had asked Kaylee to ask her at some point when she stopped wearing stockings, because in the late 50s, you know, any woman would wear stockings, and then by the 70s, you wouldn't. So I was really curious when that was. And then she also told me that Elvis would wear a black shirt, like he would change out of his jumpsuit between shows in Vegas, which I thought was informative. She really had a lot of nuggets of wisdom.
Yeah, he's always in pajamas in the film. Like, he's never like shirtless in the film. I was like, wait, like Jacob Lordy, come on.
You know, that was also a choice, but there's all these home videos of him and they're like swimming and he wears a t-shirt. So I thought, I don't know, maybe
he's a prude.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I also thought it was funny how like he only wore glasses when he got into philosophy.
No, he really did wear reading glasses. You just never see photos of him with reading. Yeah. Or like he would take them off, I guess. Like if he was having his photo taken. I think glasses are a sign of weakness. I don't know.
You think?
I mean, I think for him, if you never saw a photo of him with his glasses and you have to like dig deep to find one, but he had really bad eyesight and needed glasses.
Oh, Misha. Another question?
Thank you.
Thank you. I was amazed that she looks so young at the beginning, and obviously you're covering quite a lot of time. I was just wondering, was there, obviously you're having to consider so much stuff about the period, but how much went into obviously starting her out as 14 and the proportions of that, and then obviously her being older?
Yeah, a lot went into that, and I can't take complete credit for that because our hair and makeup team, Joanne and Cleona, were incredible, and the three of us just made timeline after timeline of like, this is when the hair is brown and this is what the clothes look like and this is when the, you know, we had all these names for them, like Memphis Glam and Baby Glam, and I forgot them all, but it was just how we kind of made our way through. So a lot went into it, and it was very collaborative to make her go from that super young to older.
This trot.
Oh, your t-shirt is so nice.
Thank you. Is that your 24 t-shirt?
Nice.
It's very nice.
Thank you. So I have a question. So her films, Sophia's films, often receive criticism and gendered attacks for their aestheticism / pretty aesthetics. Is this such a bad thing? And in what ways is the fashion feminist?
I don't know, but yeah, I think that she's often telling the story of girls and girls coming into their own. And I think a big part of that is trying on identities and trying to see who you are. And that isn't, it's easy to do that a little bit with clothes, because clothes are, in so much as they're, you know, things that we wear, they're also like an armor, a personality, they're a signifier, there's so many things. So I think it makes sense that someone who's looking into the kind of inner lives of women would explore that with clothes and fashion. Sure, my pleasure.
Here we go.
Thank you. I've got a question. If you could do a film on any subject matter or period or anything that you haven't tackled yet, what would you want to do?
I really love the ballet. I want to do a ballet.
A lovely little Rodarte moment for Black Swan.
At the back, Misha.
Yeah. We're going back here. Oh, God. Oh, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. Oh, okay. Thank you. Oh, okay.
Thank you. Hi there. Do you have a particular favorite collaboration that you have with Sophia, or is it sort of like choosing your favorite children where you just can't choose?
I feel like I love all of them, but one of my favorite moments of any film that we ever made was at the end of Priscilla, we had a little glass of champagne because I think we were just so amazed that we did it and no one got COVID. And like, because we were shooting during COVID, if someone got COVID, we would have had to shut down. And we there was like no extra money and nothing. So I think like on the last shot, someone said like, oh, do you want a glass of champagne? Like we have this ball of pink champagne. I was like, yeah. And then I brought her a glass, the monitor, and it was the last shot. And I was like, I can't believe we did it. We were like so excited. And then the first AD was like, okay, we're going to shoot the last scene of the movie now. Are you guys finished? So, Priscilla.
Oh, here we go. Another one right here. Thank you.
Thanks. I was just curious a little bit about how much information you're given about like the conditions under which the clothes are going to be filmed. Because I would imagine that with lighting and things that would change like the color or sort of whether it comes across as like translucent or opaque and like just yeah how much your info you're given.
I think we do camera tests and also I see the set and I know like I knew in Vegas we didn't have space to move around because it was so expensive to build that set and make it look, you know, and I knew like we were kind of trying to fill this small space with the amount of extras that we had. And we only had like two showgirls because we didn't have a lot of money to get those costumes. So they were kind of recirculating through the room. So I guess it varies, but I did want to keep like the interest, the business at the top. So she had that big bow and less about the bottom because I knew we wouldn't see it.
Thank you. This is a kind of broad question, and it kind of spans over all of your work. But you mentioned you research with mood boards, but is there a specific way you like to do your research in prepping for a film?
Yeah, I feel like I'm such a nerd with this super cool audience, but I love the New York Public Library, and I also love the Metropolitan Museum of Art because there's a textile department, which is amazing. And I'll bet you the V&A has an incredible thing like that too. And I know they have a really good costume institute. If I lived here, I would probably go there a lot.
So much of your work has ended up on, I'm sure everyone in this room's Tumblr at some point. Have you ever had a Tumblr?
No. But I want to know how to use it.
You don't.
If anyone wants to give me a tutorial.
It's lost in the sands of time.
But we can.
Yeah. Oh, okay, it's over.
Yeah.
We should have done that as one of the workshops.
Yeah.
Tonight.
How to build a Tumblr.
How to have a Tumblr.
We'll single-handedly bring back Tumblr in this room tonight.
We can do it.
We could do it.
I don't really know how to use Pinterest either. If someone wants to show me how to do it.
No, Ione does.
I can show you. I think it's a bit of a wasteland, though. Like, usually it's better just to... This is so boring. That's how you opt.
Okay, thanks.
Is there any more questions?
Go on.
We can probably do one more.
Okay, here we go. All the way around.
There's two.
Oh, two.
Okay, we can probably do two more if they're quick.
Yeah. Sorry, where was the one here?
It was Georgie.
Back to you. Let's do her first.
Hi, so much of your work has influenced, I'm sure, so many of our like personal senses of style. So I'm curious if like any of the projects you've worked on have like influenced your own personal style or inspired you to, I don't know, in any way.
Actually, yes, every project, sadly. I have a feather coat that I've never worn that showed up after the bling ring. I also have a coat that the tailor make for me out of Priscilla's baby dress fabric that was left over. It's bright pink. I love it, but I don't wear it that much.
I want to see it.
It's really nice. It's beautifully made. They did a good job.
Last question.
Georgie, Miss Georgie, was it you? Oh, go on, make it a good one.
I've already asked one. This is awful. Jacob Elordi is very tall. And Katie Sweeney is very small. Was there ever any conversation about like the proportions of dressing them together in terms of how they were going to be shot together?
No, I think that was Philippe's problem.
Did you also want Jacob Elordi more naked?
No, very inappropriate.
I think he was so great and so charismatic and so charming, and I like the idea that there was a little bit left to the imagination.
That's the right answer. That's a good answer.
Gorgeous way to end, I think.
Yeah, well.
Cut the mic. Misha, cut it out. You're not allowed.
I have a question for the audience.
Yes.
I want to know if they're going to do karaoke and or cake decorating.
Okay, put your, say yes now for cake decorating. Oh, wow. And for karaoke.
All right, great.
You get a free pink wig if you do karaoke.
You do, yeah. Priscilla is streaming on Mubi from March 1st. You can get 30 days free by going to mubi.com/polyester. There are also postcards absolutely everywhere in this venue. So if you haven't seen it and we haven't spoiled it too much, which I feel like we tease just the right amount. Yeah.
Then watch it again now.
Yeah, same.
It's a very good movie.
It is, I agree. Yeah. Well done. Thank you very much to Stacey for being here with us. Thank you to Gina for the gorgeous questions. Karaoke is straight after the letterbox quiz, so you can go to the quiz right now and you can stay for karaoke, which is from approximately 8:45. I don't know if we're running on time or not. Let me check. I mean, yes, we are running on time. So
go.
Everyone go get a drink. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
See you somewhere. Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.